You know, I can see a lot from here. It's a beautiful view to see your smiling faces each Sabbath. And this Sabbath, I see something that is so precious. At least the good majority of those that are our newest church family members are sitting with their spiritual friends. Spiritual friends is sitting with their charge. Isn't that beautiful? Now, Carolyn's going to have to wait a little longer. Chantel isn't here yet. She's arrived back, hasn't she, Carolyn? But off this weekend, yes. But we'll look forward to seeing her. Yes, indeed. Well, and not only do I see our spiritual friends and our newest church family members, but also I see Daniel Robinson. At least Daniel was here for a while. Yeah, right there. There he is, sitting with Grandma and Grandpa, by all means. Daniel went in for surgery. If some of you are not aware of the fact, was it hip surgery or leg surgery? Hip surgery. And back to normal, all right?
Yep.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good. Good. You look good, Daniel. It's good to see you. God bless you. Join me as we have prayer. Precious Father, again, Father, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you that you are present here. We're grateful we can be here to listen to you speak to us through all the many different ways. And we thank you that you've ministered in such a unique way through this music. And now, Father, as we open your precious word, may we hear the message you have just for us, for it applies to everyone. Even the man that stands before needs this message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said that we can have peace in this world. Isn't that good news? And yet, the reality is so many Christians in this land of the free, America, do not know that peace. Now, with that question in mind and that thought in mind, I would like to say that the answer to this paradox is found in John, the 14th chapter. So as you have brought your Bibles today, please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. The whole chapter, John chapter 14, the whole chapter is about not being afraid and experiencing peace. That's what the whole chapter is about. In fact, it's interesting that Jesus is saying goodbye. It is John chapter 13 through 16 is Jesus' goodbye sermon. And I'm just going to focus in on one little verse, a powerful verse in John chapter 14. In just a few moments, Jesus is going to be on his way to Calvary, but the disciples find themselves now with Jesus in the upper room, and they are feeling great. They're on a high. They feel at peace. But Jesus knows that that kind of peace is not the kind of peace that is going to help them and get them through the time of trouble that they're going to soon encounter. They need something more than in this kind of peace that they have now in the upper room. They need another kind of peace. Now, here in John chapter 14, Jesus is explaining that he's going to leave. He's going to go back to heaven to his Father's house, but he's going to come back again, and that's encouraging. And in the meantime, Jesus is going to give a comforter. Who is the comforter? The Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. You see, he wants you and me to know, and he wanted his disciples to know and experience this real peace, even this side of the second coming of Christ. Now, how many here want to have and experience that real peace? I want to see your hands if that's your desire. Amen. Indeed, I want to raise my hand with you. What is that real peace? Well, Jesus talks about it right here, John, the 14th chapter, and look at verse 27. Jesus speaking, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Oh, I've heard that verse over the years as a child, and it was comforting and helpful. And today, we're going to read it again. We're going to read it more than once. And I pray that it will be comforting, but also challenging to us. I want us to see it again. What is it, that cornflakes commercial? At least it was once. Eat it again for the first time. Read it again for the first time. See something that you've never seen here before. I would like to suggest that Jesus is saying here, he's telling us that there are two kinds of peace. Do you see them there? Two kinds of peace. His peace and the world's peace. Now, those of you that underline your Bible and mark your Bibles, which is a good idea, it's your sword, I want to invite you to circle, if you would, my peace. It's right there in verse 27, Jesus' peace, my peace. And then in that same verse, you'll notice it, the world gives. That's the other peace, the world's peace. Two kinds of peace. Now listen, friends, the world's peace helps. It gives relief. It gives relief. You and I can calm down through the world's peace. We really can. But Jesus offers something more than relief. In fact, what Jesus is trying to get across to his disciples and to you and me as his disciples is that we need something more than relief as we live in this world. We need God's peace. And we can receive God's peace according to the basis of God's word and experience. We can receive it through the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's the message. Well, today, I want to talk with us about the key to a peaceful life. We're going to use that key and unlock the means and the way to have peace in our lives. But first, we need to be honest with ourselves and including myself as I stand before you, that the church of today, the church that we worship in, the world that we live in, well, people are tense. People are stressed. People are anxious and worried, and they're angry and unhappy, and they're afraid. Now, what kind of peace is that? Jesus has answered that. Remember, take a look at it. Keep your Bibles open to John 14, verse 27. What does he say? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Well, we know right now that certainly is not Jesus' peace here. Because Jesus' peace takes away that troubled heart. Jesus' peace takes away fear. So it certainly isn't Jesus' peace. It must be the implication that Jesus makes here. Not as the world gives. Ah, that's the kind of peace. He says, that's not the kind of peace I give. So friends, whatever Jesus' peace is, it takes away a troubled heart. It takes away fear. How many more are interested in Jesus' peace? I want to raise my hand again. Yes, I want Jesus' peace. I desire his peace. I came across a big word. Now, big words, I want to make them smaller because I can't understand big words. But homeostasis, you've heard that word before maybe? Homeostasis. It means a body at rest. A body at rest. Is your body at rest? What is a body at rest? Well, the heart is beating at a certain beat. The temperature is normal. Maybe a little warm in here, but it's certainly a lot better than outside. The blood pressure is normal. We're breathing normal. Muscles are relaxed. And one is emotionally calm. You're at ease. But it's just the opposite of that. What's the opposite of that? Well, turn it up now. Hands sweaty. The heart beats faster. The temperature rises. Blood pressure is high. Breathing is abnormal. Muscles tighten up. Emotionally, we're upset. Emotionally, we're tense and we're ill at ease. And again, Jesus says to us here, what does he say to us? He says, peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I want to share with you one of the unfortunate facts of life. And it's not anything new to you and me. And the fact is that the majority of the world today knows only about the world's peace. Do you agree with that? The majority today mainly knows about the world's peace. And I wonder, does that present a challenge for us as Christians? Do we have something to share with the world? about Jesus' peace? Oh, indeed, we do. But first of all, we too must experience and know Jesus' peace for ourselves in order to share this awesome peace that he promises. So I'm going to give us a test. Are you ready for this? I'm going to find out if we have bought in to the world's peace. And by the way, before I even share it with you, we have. We have bought into the world's peace. If we bought into the world's peace, then we will think that the reason why we're tense sometimes, the reason why we're angry or ill at ease sometimes, is because of things that are happening in our world around us. Let me give you an example. I'm angry because my boss demands unreasonable demands on me. I'm upset because I had a disagreement with someone at work, or at school, or at church. And then there's the wife who came to the counselor and said, I'm uptight because my husband takes me for granted. Or maybe there's someone here today and you've experienced betrayal from someone that you thought you could trust, and you became angry. Friends, this is real, isn't it? This is real. This is what happens to even you and me, to have people that we know. Everyone has experienced it. Yes, even as Christian believers, we have experienced these things. What happens? Our mind reacts to these things that are happening to us in the world around us. And we become angry. We become bitter. Well, what has happened, friends, is we've bought into the world's peace. Even in this land of the free. We ask, well, what can I do? What can I do? Jesus has an answer. It's right here in John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Something I'm learning about this peace that we so desperately need in our lives, Jesus' peace. Peace in our lives is related in one way or another to forgiving ourselves or someone. It's related in one way or another to forgiving. Take for example, in other words, instead of forgiving that boss, instead of forgiving that mate or that person who has wrongly accused us, instead of forgiving our daughter who has ruined our reputation, instead of forgiving, what do we do? What do? We try to forget. We try to cope with the world's kind. We try to cope. How do we try to cope? By using the world's kind of peace. Are you with me? And it's a lot easier to do, isn't it? A lot easier to do. Oh, we can use the world's kind of peace and all the different ways that that's done. But it's so hard to forgive somebody. Or to face the reality of my life. Everywhere we go, there are people who are seeking peace. They're really looking and seeking the world's peace. Because what they want is they use the term, we want relief and we want it now. Have you ever noticed what people do? And you and I are one of those people, by the way. What do we do? What do people do in order to cope, in order to find relief? Because that's just something we just naturally turn to, the world's peace, the world's methods, the world's ways. Well, let me share with you a few examples. And as I share these examples, and I thought about them, and I wrote them down, and all I thought, boy, can I relate to many of these. People try to forget their problems. They try to cope and have relief. They get involved with work. They become workaholics. Some people get on the telephone and they talk to someone who will agree with them. These are just two examples of trying to cope and have relief in our world. World's peace. Someone else says, well, let's go for a visit. Let's go on a vacation. We just need to get away from it all. Some people sweat it out. They play racquetball or baseball or basketball. They just sweat it out. They get their equipment and they exercise and They sweat it out. Others escape. They escape in a car. They escape in a book. Not always God's book, but they escape in a book. Oh my, today a lot of people escape in video games and they escape through, music. They escape. Others help somebody, some kind of a work project. Then others, they subject themselves to something, maybe a choir, maybe a team. Some study something. Some get involved with clothes. They got to get clothes. They got to go to the shopping mall. If they can't afford the shopping mall, they go down to a garage sale or a Goodwill. They got to get clothes and things. Still others seek out a quiet place to find relief. Or maybe some buy a car. I remember my son, oldest boy, as I've shared this with you in the past, in this context, it fits. We would often go through Toys R Us. That's Toys Heaven for children, you know. And Nate would often say, as we would go through, buy this for me and then I'd be happy. Buy this for me and then I will be happy. Then I will have relief. Some find themselves eating a lot. Some find themselves starving themselves. And then others try to find relief by trying to remodel the house. You see, the world's peace offers relief. And you've heard the expression, but it's true. We've been there. We've done that. I want to share with you the two most popular, the greatest of all the kinds of relief of peace that the world tries. And that is alcohol, perhaps the greatest chemical abuse problem. You seek peace in the bottle. And the second, anybody have an idea what the second is related to alcohol? Drugs. Yeah, you know. You tell your doctor that I am depressed, and you get that pill, that prescription of pills, and it tranquilizes your anger with that pill. Some get the pill or the upper through a doctor. Some go to a drug pusher. And as many of us know, Michael Jackson, the rock and roll singer, has passed away. And evidence is he spent a lot of money for pills per month, up to possibly $50,000 a month. Michael Jackson went to the world for peace. And so all of these methods can give us relief. If that's what we want. If we're stressed, if we're anxious, if we're worried, if we're angry, if we're unhappy, if we're afraid, if we're not getting along with someone, we can get relief through these conditions. This is the world's peace, and the world's peace gives relief. Even Jesus himself acknowledges that. Remember, John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. World's got its peace. Do I give to you? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I would like to suggest that the world's peace is a cover-up. It is, as it were, a counterfeit to the real peace. And without realizing it, folks, even though we find ourselves involved with relief and the things of relief and the world's kind of peace, it's a cover-up. It's a counterfeit. It's not the real thing. It is, as it were, a mechanism that the world has accepted that we take this, we do this, and we go through this in order for us to be able to cope so that we don't have to forgive, so we don't have to face reality. You hear what I'm trying to say? But you know what God has to say about these methods, about the world's kind of peace? You have your Bibles open? Let's go there to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians, the fifth chapter. Question, friends, anger and tension and worry and fear and hate. What does God say about these emotions? What does God say about these reactions? Does he see these reactions and these emotions, these behaviors as, well, conditions that are socially and culturally caused? Like the world says, well, the reason why I'm angry, the reason why I'm upset is because of that and that and that and that and that. That's the problem. That's the main problem. We've all found ourselves there. Now, before we can truly experience and appreciate Jesus' peace, we need to see these emotional responses and reactions as God sees them. As God sees them. How does God see them? You have your Bibles open to Galatians, the 5th chapter, and let's look at verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the, what does it say there? The works of the flesh. And as you go to the book of Galatians, you'll have the works of the flesh, and you have also the works of the Spirit. There's a contrast there in the book of Galatians here. Here's a list of the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, yes, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Now, those of you that, again, mark your Bibles, put down next to Galatians 5, 19 through 21, Colossians 3, 8 and 9. Colossians 3, 8 and 9, because right there it says this: but now you must put off all these. What should we put off as Christian believers? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Do you see it? All of these, all of the above, God sees them as the flesh. God sees them as sin. God calls them sin. And sometimes what God calls sin, we don't always call sin. And we must see through his eyes. Do you and I realize what this means, friends? If anger and fear and all the others are sin, then there is no human remedy, no human cure. Only relief, only the world's peace, the world's peace. And if you want relief, you're going to find it. If we want to stay in the world's peace, then what was happening is it will stay in the trap of an unforgiving spirit, always as we are using the world's for a peace. Change the location. Remove a troublesome person. Then you will get relief. That's relief. But relief is not healing, is it? Relief is not healing. Relief is not dealing with the need to forgive. Alcohol, what does it do? It quiets the hostile, bitter heart. But it only gives relief. It does not heal. As a Christian, I can point you to some of the ways of relief. And as Christians, we have pointed to some people. You need a vacation. You need some time off. That's okay. Just as long as we realize those are the ways of the world, the world's ways. Those are the ways of relief, not the way of healing. It's not the ultimate answer. You see, God did not send his son, Jesus Christ, to this world to bring the world relief. And that's why I especially want to point you to the cure. And it's out of this world, friends. The cure is out of this world. What does Jesus himself say in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21? And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus Christ came to this world not only to forgive, praise God for forgiveness, but also to heal these sins, and be willing to acknowledge that they are a sin. Jesus Christ, he is the key to peaceful life. Amen? Amen? He is. Mark chapter 7. Let's go there. Mark the 7th chapter. When you and I are tired of the treating the symptoms, and there's a time and a place for these things, but when we're tired of treating the symptoms and you're ready for a cure, then there's only one, and that is to turn to Jesus Christ and his word, his will, his way. Mark, the 7th chapter, Jesus is speaking there. Notice what he has to say in verses 21 through 23. Jesus says, starting at verse 21, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed what? Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." Oh, it's a terrible list there. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Jesus said these words. Now, I know, because I'm human as you are, that we tend to say, the tendency is, well, all of my problems would be solved if this happened or that happened. And that's not the ultimate answer, is it? That is not the ultimate answer. That's what the world does, friends. The way to respond or to react has to do with what's inside us, the sin that is within us. And so according to the Word of God, according to God himself, if we want Jesus' peace, not just relief, but a cure, Jesus' peace, then we must be willing to acknowledge that the circumstances tell us what we need to deal with. The circumstances tell us what we need to deal with in our heart, not the other way around. And we don't always like to hear that. Neither did I as I came to this realization. The world doesn't cause our problem when you really come down to it. It reveals our problem. It reveals our needs. And often our need is this: to become willing to forgive. To become willing to face reality. How many here today want Jesus' peace? Raise your hand with me if you want it. Praise the Lord. Amen. If we really want Jesus' peace, if we really desire more than relief but victory, a cure, then we must see anger. We must see these things as what God sees them, as sin. We must see that our boss is not always what the real problem is. Though your boss may be a problem, that's not the ultimate problem. It's not always, if I get a new mate, or maybe that certain church member, they are the problem. That's not always the situation. It's our children's behavior does not determine our anger, friends. Rather, we're angry because there's sin in our lives. Are we ready to ask God to enable us to forgive? To enable us to face reality? The world's peace can only offer, as it were, a fix, relief. But Jesus' peace offers more than a way out of just relief. But Jesus' peace enables us to forgive, to live. Amen. Amen. As I look out of the congregation today, I see mostly all Christians, and I'm so glad you're here today. As you sit before God in his word, as I, as your pastor, share his word with you, the Bible says that you as a Christian, upon receiving Christ, your righteousness by faith, receive the Holy Spirit into your life. And as we cooperate with God, as we become more and more involved with his word, a relationship with Jesus Christ, we receive more and more of a control of the Spirit of God in our lives. Amen? You've heard me say it. I want to say it again. It's one thing to have the Spirit. It's altogether another thing to allow the Spirit to have us. And in the gospel, or the book of Galatians. It speaks so much about the good news of the gospel. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. What does it say there? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What a great list. What a wonderful list. Just think of it, friends. If you and I want more joy, if you and I want more love, if you and I want more peace in our lives, Jesus' peace, then listen to this, friends. It's not found by improving your partner. If my partner would just improve, everything would be all right. No, it's really found in improving our relationship with God. And I can't do that for you. I can't eat for you. I can't study the Bible for you. But I can point you to God. I can point you to His Word. You ask, well, what can He do with my sin? My anger, my fear, my gossip, what can He do with my sin? This is what He can do. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. You know it by heart. Let's say it out loud. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a great promise. What's the big if? If we confess our sins. If we confess our sins. Are you ready to call what God calls sin? Are you ready to do that? Then He will forgive us our sins. And what else? He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord, my friends. Jesus said it so beautifully. I say it again. No, Jesus says it again. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Today, I want to invite you to experience more than the world's peace, but Jesus' peace. Are you ready? Are you ready to allow the Holy Spirit, who is ready and willing when you and I are ready and willing? What are the steps? What are the simple steps that we can take to be ready and willing? Here they are, very simple. Number one, examine your heart. Examine your heart. And number two, acknowledge your sin. And number three, ask God for forgiveness and cleansing to enable you to face the realities of life, to enable you to forgive. And then fourthly, ask God to fill you with His Spirit. You see, He promises us. I've said this and I want to say it again, okay? He promises us through the cross of Calvary, not only that He can forgive us, praise God for that, but He can cleanse us. He can cleanse us. Through Jesus Christ, there is more than the world's peace. Amen? More than relief. That is not the message that we have as Christian believers, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, to give to the world. I come to the world to give you the world's peace, relief. No, no. We come, and we are in this world to share with the world Jesus' peace, the cure. But first, we must examine our hearts, acknowledge our sin, ask God for forgiveness and cleansing, ask Him to enable us to face reality, to be willing to forgive and to fill us with His Spirit, a fresh supply of His grace. Are you ready to do that today? As Annetta plays that beautiful song in the background, I cast all my cares upon you, I want to invite you to close your eyes and bow your heads with me as I share with you this prayerful thought. Friend, I want to share with you the good news that Jesus Christ, who died 2,000 years ago and absorbed our sins and endured our punishment, promises us His peace. The Spirit of God personally is involved in giving us this peace of Jesus. Now, all of us as Christians, we have the Spirit, but not all of us as Christians are experiencing Jesus' peace. Is that you, my friend? Do you lack the kind of vital aliveness that comes through a total surrender to the ministry of the Spirit? There are Christians here today who have all forms of godliness, but they desperately need the purifying work of the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit. It's identified as fire in the New Testament. So many of us need the fire in our lives. Are you one of the countless Christians who believes that your sins are forgiven, that God has forgotten your sin? And you live in this land of the free, but yet you are still burdened with a haunting memory of what you've done? You're still in the rut of unforgiveness, still unwilling to face reality? You need purging of these memories. You need the things of the past to be burned away. You need Jesus' peace. And there are still other Christians who live in the fantasies of sin. On the surface, you seem decent and upright, but you allow your mind to indulge in sexual relationships that are not of God. You need Jesus' peace. There are some here today who are afraid of me as your pastor. You're resisting the message that God has sent me here to give. Friend, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, we quench Jesus' peace from occurring in our lives. Still others of you are angry and hurt from bad relationships you've had with maybe your loved ones or friends, fellow workers, church family members. And one of the things on your prayer list is, Lord, change them. Change them, Lord. And God can change them. But He wants to change you today. He wants to enable you to forgive, to live, to face reality, to cleanse you of your anger and your hurt. You need Jesus' peace. Are you ready? To let go of your conditions for not giving your all to the Lord? Are you ready and willing for Him to take out of you whatever He wants to remove and direct you to do whatever He desires? I believe there are many here today who are ready, and I want to invite you to talk with the Lord silently. Some of you maybe have never done it this way, silently, just you and the Lord. Talk within each other. I'm going to say a simple prayer, and I'd invite you to repeat that prayer after me, if that's in your heart, silently between you and the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, dear loving Father, You've shown me what my real problem is, that it's not always what's happening outside of me, but the sin that is inside of me. Lord, I've tried the world's peace, and I got relief. But today I've come to You to desirous of Jesus' peace. And in Jesus, I can receive more than relief, but a cure. And so, Father, I confess I am wrong. I have sinned. I am sorry I have sinned. Forgive me of my sins. And now cleanse me of my sins. Enable me to forgive, to face reality. And now, Father, in Your own way and in Your own time, fill me with Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.